When I was little, my grandmother had bird feeders and a bird bath in her backyard. Some of my favorite memories growing up were listening to her tell me everything she knew about the feathered friends that visited her yard daily. How amazing would it have been for us to be able to capture images and videos of that experience and to be able to share them with others? Well, if you're ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level, FeatherSnap makes Wi-Fi-enabled smart bird feeders that blend the best of technology and nature. Get a high-def glimpse of your feathered friends with a top-of-the-line camera so every visitor can be seen with clarity and detail. A unique dual-feeder bin helps attract more species, and built-in solar panels keep your camera's battery going strong. FeatherSnap's mobile app creates a truly immersive experience, allowing you to collect and organize your favorite pics and videos and earn badges along the way. Best of all, FeatherSnap offers expert-trained AI identification of more than 275 North American species thanks to their in-house ornithologist. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. As most of you know, I'm a big fan of the outdoors, and most of my time is dedicated to beekeeping and gardening-related discussions. But you probably did not know that one of my responsibilities as a kid was caring for our houseplants. Yes, part of my $5 a week allowance went towards making sure all of the houseplants were healthy and happy. We used to have shamrocks, Christmas cactus, philodendron, and more. Which leads us to today's podcast sponsor, and a special thanks to Palm Street. Palm Street is the best live shopping app for the plant lover community. You can buy and sell rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods. Connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. Shop 24/7 and with live human customer support. What I love most about Palm Street is joining a live stream where sellers walk through all the details and characteristics of the plants they're offering. You can get live answers to your questions and see what questions others have asked as well. It's such a great way to engage for buyers and sellers. And as a special offer, new users will receive $5 app credit, 10% off their first order, and up to $6 off shipping for 3 orders. Palm Street, available on Google Play or the App Store. Hey everybody, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Today we've got Bees in the News, episode 12. All right, we are going to jump right in here and kick things off. Coming to us out of the University of Maryland, honeybee lifespans are 50% shorter today than they were 50 years ago. A drop in longevity for lab-kept honeybees could help explain colony losses and lower honey production in recent decades. A new study by the University of Maryland entomologist shows that the lifespan for individual honeybees kept in a controlled laboratory environment is 50% shorter than it was in the 1970s. When scientists modeled the effect of today's shorter lifespans, the results corresponded with the increased colony loss and reduced honey production trends seen by U.S. beekeepers in recent decades. Colony turnover is an expected factor in the beekeeping business as bee colonies naturally age and die off. But over the past decade, U.S. beekeepers have reported high loss rates, which has meant having to replace more colonies to keep operations viable. In an effort to understand why, researchers have focused on environmental stressors, disease, parasites, pesticide exposure, and nutrition. This is the first study to show an overall decline in honeybee lifespan potentially independent of environmental stressors, hinting that genetics may be influencing the broader trends seen in the beekeeping industry. The study was published in the journal Scientific Reports. So the article does continue on, and as always, I'm going to have links to all these articles on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage in the news section. So jumping over to article number 2, coming to us out of NC State, out of North Carolina. Can bees recognize faces? The short answer, yes, but there's a bit more to the story. Recently, David Tarpey, professor of applied ecology at NC State and all-around beekeeping expert, sat down with the Audio Abstract to talk bees. So the question was asked, can bees recognize faces? And the gentleman responds, yes, bees can recognize and differentiate between human faces so they can recognize their beekeepers over somebody else. There was this really interesting splash study that was done by researchers at Cambridge in 2004. They set up a reward system where the bees learned to associate particular faces with a honey reward, similar to the way Pavlov's dogs learned to associate food with a bell sound and would salivate at the ring of the bell. Bees are really, really good at learning. They will stick out their tongues expecting a little bit of honey reward if they get a particular stimulus. In this case, if they flew toward a certain face. So the researchers could see how well they learned and if they can learn different faces. And the answer is they can. Okay, so our next article is coming to us from ABC, and I'm not talking about the US-based ABC, I'm talking about the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Beekeepers fear almond pollination could be varroa mite super spreader event. In short, an estimated 300,000 hives will be transported from NSW, Queensland, South Australia, and Victoria to pollinate almond orchards this year, sparking fears of a varroa mite increase across borders. The deadly parasite has quickly spread in NSW since control measures were relaxed, with one beekeeper saying the pest is already in other states. What's next? There are hopes for a post-varroa future with research underway into alternative pollinators and self-pollinating almond varieties. There are fears the annual pollination of almonds could become a super spreader event for killing parasite varroa destructor. Beekeepers from across New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia, and Victoria are transporting 300,000 hives to pollinate more than 62,000 hectares of orchards this year, according to the Almond Board of Australia. For the past 20 years, NSW apiarist John Lockwood has taken 10,000 hives from the state's central west to pollinate an almond crop at Balranald near the border with Victoria. He's decided to make the annual trip this year despite his hives containing varroa, but they will stay on just one farm away from other bees to reduce the risk of spread. We've had a long-term relationship with our farm, but definitely for the industry on a broader scale, it's very tricky at the moment, Mr. Lockwood said. If you have mites in your hives, you can't cross the border into Victoria. So as always, a bit more to the article, definitely worth checking out here. It's been described to me before when you're putting bees on pollination and, of course, referencing the California almond industry. It's like having a bunch of people go hang out in an airport for a few weeks, right? You got all these people coming and going from different places and getting exposure to a lot of different viruses, bacteria, and other illnesses. So it's very stressful potentially for the bees. And this story kind of represents that pretty well. Okay, the next article, man recovering following bee attack in Brownsville. This is coming to us out of Texas. A Brownsville man is recovering after being stung several times by Africanized honeybees while waiting for a bus. It happened on Saturday on St. Charles Street near First Street. Our medic unit responded and got to the patient as it progressed. One of my medics got stung by a bee and he called us, Brownsville Fire Department Lieutenant Rodrigo Rangel said. The bus stopped in front of an abandoned home where the fire department says the bees were living. Lieutenant Rangel was one of the first responders on scene. He says the man mentioned hearing a lawnmower before being attacked. Apparently, he mentioned that somebody was cutting the grass and that they might have aggravated the bees, and him being the closest thing, that's why they attacked him, Rangel said. Brownsville firefighters had to remove some of the home's siding to reach the bees. They also called the health department to smoke the swarm and remove the bees. I included this article today to make sure that we're putting it out there kind of like a public service announcement. If you are in the U.S., particularly in the South, and I'm saying basically, you know, like probably Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, all the way through the South, Africanized bees are definitely here and they're creeping further and further north kind of as the years go by. And the reason I think it's so important to kind of be aware of this is there are videos that a lot of people do online and they're doing bee removals, they're doing swarm catching, they're doing all these other things. And, you know, when you're dealing with regular honeybees, they truly are a very gentle insect. If provoked, they can get angry and they can kind of do some mean things. But again, it's in defense of their life, their colony, their food, everything that is them. But with Africanized bees, which to the regular, you know, normal person looking at the bee, it looks just like a regular European honeybee. It doesn't take much at all to aggravate them. Like a regular European honeybee, you can maybe walk by the hive and they get a little irritated at certain times of year and they'll kind of chase you, maybe bounce off your head, tell you to get out of the way. And then you move on, they go back to the hive. With Africanized bees, they will hunt you down. They will chase you, they will follow you. You can jump in the water and they'll wait above the water for you to come back out so they can attack you. Like they do not play around. So ignore what you see in these videos of people doing stuff that just looks like it's, oh, all the bees are gentle everywhere. Like I said, these Africanized bees are no joke. They will, I mean, they can potentially kill you. People do occasionally die from being stung and attacked by Africanized bees. They're very aggressive. So the next article I have here is coming to us out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, how one entomologist puts beekeeping to work to support her community. Since 2021, Holly Dallenberg has been the beekeeper and farm entomologist at Beloved Trading in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Beloved Trading is the social enterprise of the John 316 Mission, a nonprofit organization that's been providing meals and overnight shelter to those in need for the past 70 years. The mission has a residential recovery program on a 150-acre property just northwest of downtown Tulsa on Osage Nation tribal lands. This location houses Beloved's main apiary as well as 50-plus egg-laying chickens, 40 head of cattle, 2 donkeys, and a fully stocked fishing pond. Dallenberg manages 40 honeybee colonies spread out across 5 remote apiary locations around the metro area. As the farm entomologist, she advises on and assists with insect identification and IPM techniques on the farm. As a refresher, for those of you who may not remember, IPM is integrated pest management. So as a beekeeper, this is anything that we're going to do around the hives to prevent varroa, take care of hive beetle, treat for any kind of disease, Nosema, or any other kind of things that may be going on within the hive. In 2020, Dallenberg graduated from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities campus, with a master's degree in entomology. Marla Spivak, PhD, was her graduate advisor in the bee lab, where she investigated the honeybee mouthpart microbiome with and without propolis, an antimicrobial resin collected by honeybees, mainly from the cottonwood tree species. In 2016, Dallenberg graduated from Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, with a bachelor's degree in cellular and molecular biology. So they went on here to have a little bit of a discussion with her, a little bit of Q&A. I just wanted to highlight it because it's pretty cool. Anytime you have somebody who is part of the bee community or any other community, and they're doing outreach type of things, they're supporting nonprofits, they're supporting things that are helping other people. I just feel like honeybees are such a great way to bring people together. They are a great way for therapy. If you're a person who's had trauma in your life, who's had some bad things go down, who's had challenges that can sometimes really seem to overwhelm, I promise you, even if you don't get into the hives, even if you don't become a beekeeper, even if you don't make the commitment to get into the hobby, being around them, being in their presence, watching them do what they do, I am telling you, it has therapeutic value. And when you can bring that to other people and you can support your community and find ways to bridge those things, I think it's always pretty cool. All right, everybody. That was kind of a quick one today. There's a whole lot going on. I have a lot more notes for you, and I don't want to burn through them all right here because I know that some people who aren't into the news but follow other episodes, I don't want to drop that here and then they say, I didn't know about that. So anyway, I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And as always, don't forget these articles will all be linked on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage under the In the News section. Take care. Be kind to one another. Remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Talk to you soon.